This episode of Enterprise Radio is brought to you by the Before It Happened podcast series. From transportation and AI to just anything you can put in your home, office, or pocket, you'll hear from the innovators themselves as they tell their stories of how they brought those visions to life. To listen in or to subscribe, simply visit beforeithappened.com.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
And once again, this is Eric Dye, and welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Zena Such, who has led development and diversity programs for the federal government for 20 years and currently serves within the senior executive service sector. She is co-author of Leading with Love and Laughter, Letting Go and Getting Real at Work. And Zena, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Eric.
Well, you're more than welcome and certainly looking forward to hearing from you today. So, for starters, what actually made you want to write a book about love and laughter in the workplace?
Thank you for asking that question. I think we get that a lot when we talk about the book. One of the things that we noticed with all of the leadership classes and courses and books out there was that the words love don't really show up, and neither does laughter. There's a lot of terminology out there, some great checklists and mantras and equations that people put out there for leaders to use. But what we were finding that was missing in the language was love and laughter. When we were teaching executives and we would be in the classroom, we would sit there and say to ourselves, what is missing? There are some folks that come through programs and they are exceptional leaders, and we see them shine in class. And we kept tossing around, what is it that's missing from those that just weren't making it? Just, you know, we're good leaders, but weren't great leaders. And we were trying to identify what we called this X factor, for lack of a better thing. And over a glass of Merlot once, and we actually even put that in the book, that I sat there and I said, you know, one of the things that I found and one of my leaders said to me once was, are you approaching these people with an open heart? And I thought, you know, that's what's missing in some leadership, in some people who lead, that they're approaching it through a method practice, you know, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, this is what the books say, but they weren't really starting with the soul, with the heart of the human being. And then we realized that laughter has to be part of it too. I mean, most people spend a lot of time with their colleagues at work, and that's what humans miss and want. They want to laugh, they want to love in the workplace.
Well, I think this is certainly needed in the workplace, and I think it's also awesome that you are proactive in making sure this book was written, Leading with Love and Laughter. Now, from your perspective, why have managers and leaders in the workplace avoided the topic of love when looking at their own leadership?
I think, and we've been asking that question, and some of the answers are the same for both why they don't laugh and why they don't love in the workplace. There's a fear. There's a fear that they won't be perceived as professional. There's a fear that, oh, if I exude too much care and love and empathy and laughter, I won't be able to correct poor performance. I won't be able to hold people accountable. Some people don't know themselves enough. They don't trust themselves enough. One of the things that we say in the book is you've got to be able to love yourself first. You have to accept all of your own flaws and recognize that we're all human and we're all in this together. You know, people wear their titles, you know, on their lapels, and they walk around and they think that, oh, this is how I'm going to get the job done, and this is how I'm going to get my organization to perform at an optimal level. But what the truth is that your people will be more engaged, teams will produce at a higher level, people will be more committed to the work, to the mission, to the outcomes. They will help each other, they will spend discretionary energy to be able to make the mission be achieved more effectively, more efficiently, all the buzzwords that you hear leaders say they want. They're approaching it through, you know, my title, my authority, all these leadership concepts that I've learned. You know, you hear people talk about emotional intelligence, but the real thing behind all of those layers that we've built upon ourselves, the thing, the deepest part of all human beings is that heart, is that idea that, does my leadership care about me? Do the people I work with care about me, not just as a resource in the organization, but me as a human being, as a person? And once we tap into that, then go ahead and layer on all of the skills that you've built up as a leader. But there's this fear that if I don't exhibit those skills and I don't exhibit that behavior that's expected of me, you know, kind of authoritative, not necessarily bending, you know, holding people accountable, that's my job. You lose all of those other layers from the humans that are working with you.
Zena, another question for you. What does it mean to love while at work? Explain that to us.
Sure. So when you say the word love, there's a little bit of fear because of the idea that there's only one kind of love. But the truth is that there are different kinds of love that we as humans experience. I mean, we have familial love where we love our family members. We have friends who we say we love. Then there's of course the romantic love that people automatically think of. But then there's the self-love as well. And when we say love your colleagues, love the people that work for you, the first step is, and I mentioned this before, is learning to love yourself, knowing that you as a human being aren't perfect, and accepting that about yourself. And once you can start accepting yourself with all of your flaws and all the imperfections that you have, you can then look at others and forgive them and accept them for all of those human factors that they carry with them. And once you move beyond that self-love, you can now exude that same kind of acceptance, that same kind of trust, that same kind of relationship where you genuinely care about that person's well-being. You make that person a person first and an employee second. And that's the kind of love that we're talking about. We say things like, oh, you know, love that photo, or I love that food that we just had at the Mexican restaurant. We could say, oh yeah, we love that. But what we're talking about in the workplace is that care, that deep care for the human being first, and not just looking at every person that works with you, beside you, for you, or even above you as an entity that is there to meet the mission as an employee. And that's where the true magic, I think, starts. We see it all the time that the most caring, the most real human beings that are leading people, that X factor that we talked about, is really that person who knows not to take themselves seriously, can really laugh at themselves and some of the mistakes they've made, can take a situation where there's high stress and recognize that you're all in it together, and find a little bit of humor in the reality of the situation, lighten the air in the office, lighten the air on those Zoom meetings or in those Teams meetings where, you know, everybody is, their shoulders are up and there's so much stress in the room. People who can tap into the humor of the situation rather than be sitting in the pool of despair that some people are feeling, that is the leader that is going to get the most out of their organization. They're going to be the high producers. They're going to have the teams that produce at the highest level, that are more creative, that are tighter teams, all the things we talk about, engaged employees, employees that really help each other, because that love is contagious, that laughter is contagious.
Certainly do appreciate your response and input there. That is most helpful. Now, again, this episode of Enterprise Radio is being brought to you by our partners at the Before It Happened podcast series. Before any world-changing innovation, there was certainly a moment, an event, a realization that sparked the idea. The Before It Happened podcast series is a show about that idea. Each week, host Donna Laughlin takes a deep dive into a singular light bulb moment that inspired the visionaries to push forward and change our lives. To listen in or to subscribe, visit beforeithappened.com. Again, that is beforeithappened.com. Today, we're joined by Zena Such, who has led development and diversity programs for the federal government for 20 years and currently serves within the senior executive service sector. She is co-author of Leading with Love and Laughter, Letting Go, and Getting Real at Work, and she joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, when we talk of laughter, and I know work is certainly a different place to be laughing, what does laughter look like at work?
That's a great question. And I think there are many people who are afraid to even tread on laughter, because what they think we mean is go in and be a stand-up comedian, or learn how to tell jokes, or show funny movie clips during team meetings. No, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is tapping into the joy that people can feel in the workplace. And what we've been seeing is that workplaces, especially during the pandemic even, the stress levels have gone up. Even though people are not necessarily going into the workplace, and some still are going into the workplace, there's a stress level that goes up. And what we're finding is that that stress level impacts the way we think, the decisions we make, how much energy we have. And when somebody can come in and de-stress the situation by providing a lighthearted approach or sharing something about themselves that they find quite funny about themselves, or doing something that's out of character to just break the ice in the room, I think that is what we're talking about. We've seen leaders who say, I don't know how to tell jokes, but what we've been doing is, every all hands meeting, everybody has to wear their funny hat, and then people get a prize for their funniest hat. Or people say, a leader that has always seemed so stoic and without expression and very, much up to business, I'm going to come in and we're going right down to business, would come in wearing Groucho Marx hat or eyeglasses, and it breaks the ice. Doing something that is that you feel comfortable doing, that you might not necessarily do in a business setting or in a work setting, but you're willing to take that little bit of risk to help make the mood in the room get lighter. And it really does. It's shown. We talk about some of our last leaders, and we talk about this woman who accidentally turned herself into a potato during a very important staff meeting with all of her leadership, and she continued the meeting in the form of a potato because she couldn't figure out how to take that lens off of her Zoom meeting, and her entire staff they all saw her through a different lens because she was always, a very strong leader, authoritative. She knows her business. She was well respected. And she was able to still go along with, it's okay. So I'm a potato today, and I'm going to continue, holding this meeting. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about people who can look at themselves, lighten up the air in the room, find something about themselves that they're willing to share, tell a funny story that happened to them or their family. And talk about a vacation gone wrong. It doesn't have to be a joke. We caution people about excluding people in any kind of discussions or storytelling or laughing at people. We all know this. This is not the way we bring humor to the workplace. That could be very excluding, and we want to avoid that. But what we want is people to tap into their own selves and be able to kind of laugh at themselves a little bit and let their employees and those that work with them see them through a different lens.
And this is certainly fantastic. Now, looking at laughter further, as we did love, why have managers and leaders in the workplace also avoided the topic of laughter when looking at their own leadership?
So I think it's very similar to why love is something that leaders will avoid. Laughter can make people think that, if everyone's laughing, no one's working. If everyone is joking around with each other and able to tell stories about themselves and laugh at themselves and really kind of look at the situation and shrug and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're in this again. Here we go again. We're doing same thing that we've experienced before, and we're in it again. Just, lightening that mode, that people will not take their jobs seriously and won't take the mission seriously and won't perform. And what do I do as a leader if I've created this very loving and joyful workplace, and now I have to step in and correct or redirect or provide a performance feedback that maybe isn't so welcoming? And what we have found is in those types of environments where people can laugh and can recognize their own human errors and themselves as non-perfect human beings, that when it's time to come up and give negative feedback or correct a behavior or try to improve a performance, people are more apt to accept it because there's a level of trust and connection with the person that they're getting this feedback from. A lot of times people will shut down when they're getting feedback that isn't acceptable, when they're getting corrective action being placed in front of them. But when you have an environment where you recognize each other as human beings that still find joy in the workplace, you accept that feedback as more of a help instead of a hindrance. It's more of a, oh, you're trying to help me out here, instead of, oh, you're trying to, you know, get me fired, or you don't like me, or you don't like my performance. It's no longer seen as negative. And it's because of that relationship that is developed when two people can laugh with each other, when two people can truly love each other on the level of, you know, coworkers, where giving and receiving feedback becomes even easier, correcting poor performance, getting people back on track, making mission accomplishment something that everybody is striving for together. There's a connectivity that occurs when this kind of environment is created. And when leaders go through classes, and we believe, and this is just a belief right now, but we believe that all of these classes people take to become better, exceptional leaders, they're valuable, and there are really good lessons to take from that. The problem that we were seeing is some of these very highly trained, certified leaders were still not becoming exceptional, and that is why we dug deeper, and what we realized was all of these leadership classes, certifications, belts and banners that people hang up on the wall to say, I've done this, I've taken this course, I've gone through this, you know, program, they layer that on top of themselves. I almost see it as like a shield, every single layer. And what they've lost was that connection with the true human being at the core of all of this. And what we know in research, it shows it, that laughter and love are things all human beings need, want, look for in their spaces. And we're saying, why not bring that to the workplace and still use those leadership lessons and certifications to help guide you, but start with the heart, start with the human that you are working with. And once you start there and develop that feeling for each other, that relationship where you can laugh with each other and you can see each other as flawed human beings as we all are, you can now communicate better, that holding people accountable becomes easier, the mission is accomplished much better, much faster, you see team productivity go up. And I keep repeating this, but the message is so clear when you look at the research and the data that support this.
Zena, one last question before we conclude. What does science tell us about this topic?
So what science tells us is that the human physiology changes. When somebody feels love or feels love for somebody, or when somebody is laughing and exuding, you know, an environment, or you're in an environment where there is joy, the brain chemistry changes. We have an influx of oxytocin, which is a good feeling chemical. We have our brain core doesn't feel the fight or flight kind of mentality where you are in self-protective mode. All of these barriers that exist that are created because of a stressful situation or a non-love situation where there is no trust, where there is no connection, people tend to shut down. And that's where we got the connection between the brain, the physiological changes that occur in the human body when love is expressed or felt. And we all know this. I mean, think about a person that you love and you get a warm feeling inside. Think of a time where you're sitting and laughing at a TV show. It's we know that people who have studied pain management found that laughter will reduce pain and allow people to sleep. There's studies that we mention in the book. This is true chemical changes that occur. And when these chemical changes occur, imagine the productivity, imagine the connection, imagine the type of output you will get from your colleagues when people are feeling this feeling versus a stressful situation where people are in protective modes, where there is a lack of trust. And that's really the whole message, is that science backs this up. This isn't just Zena and Patrick feeling, you know, holding hands and singing kumbaya. This is based in science that shows people's performance, people's engagement levels, people's desire to, you know, do better. It all increases when they have this feeling of being loved, exuding love, laughing, and feeling joy in that workplace.
Well put, well stated, and a perfect place to conclude things here today. Really do appreciate what you do and for taking a moment to join us here today. I'm sure listeners want to know how they can get more information on yourself as well as the book, and where can they best pick up the book, Leading with Love and Laughter, Letting Go, and Getting Real at Work.
Thank you. It's suchmalone.com is our website, and there are links there to purchasing the book through Amazon and Target and Walmart and almost all the book venues that are available. And we absolutely would welcome people to get online and read through our website and learn more about us and our life and some of our upcoming new publications.
Zena, again, our pleasure to have had you today. Really enjoyed the topic and the conversation. Folks, it is suchmalone.com. Zena, all the best. Thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Oh, thank you so much, Eric. It's been a pleasure.
And the pleasure was mine as well. We've been speaking with Zena Such, who has led development and diversity programs for the federal government for 2 decades and currently serves within the senior executive service sector. Again, she is the co-author of Leading with Love and Laughter, Letting Go and Getting Real at Work. And again, for all the details, visit suchmalone.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.
This episode of Enterprise Radio was brought to you by our partners at the Before It Happened podcast series. Nearly 20 years ago, Donna Laughlin launched a public relations firm with the sole purpose of helping visionaries tell their story to the world. Now, 2 decades later, she's sharing those stories and more with you. To listen in or to subscribe, simply visit beforeithappened.com. Again, that is beforeithappened.com.